are tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Downton Abbey. This is the final series, and we are in episode number 4. I know, didn't you already feel it? You already felt it in this thing?
All right. Turned to you at the end of it and said, they are wrapping things up. Yeah. I can feel the wrap-up happening.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Tamara Burns.
Hey, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
What's up?
And this week we had a barrel backfire. We had the endless saga of the hospital concerns.
Endless saga.
Everlasting. And, of course, where I want to start off is the return of Gwen.
Yes!
She looks great.
Oh, yeah. No longer Gwen the housemaid. She's now Gwen Harding.
Ms. Hardy. Mrs. Harding. Exactly.
So, did you recognize her? I mean,
we knew she was coming.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I would have been like one of the family.
Like Lady Mary?
Yeah, I would not have
remembered. You look familiar, but yeah, whatever. Give me a drink.
I wouldn't even gotten that far. I was like, who?
No, I don't recognize
her at all.
Definitely. By the way, Courtney and I do have the last little dregs of our bottle of Downton Abbey that we're drinking Bordeaux. Okay. Not very much. In fact, mine's almost gone.
So they're already lit.
It's gonna make it more fun.
So, yeah. All right. So she comes, and that was a pleasant surprise. I think it was great. Yes. I loved how she was kind of being coy about the whole thing.
Well, it's an incredibly awkward situation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. What are you supposed to say? Hey, remember me? I was your maid.
Yeah. I used to clean up after you.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the service people have different. There it goes already. They have a different perspective. They have, you know, certain personal knowledge of, you know, Lady Cora's underpants and such.
Whoa. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. And, you know, and then that can be an awkward situation for everybody, not just for her, for everyone going, oh, and here's the maid who used to, yeah, and now she's sitting at the dinner table. Right?
I agree. Because what was she supposed to say? When was she supposed to say it? And even when Mary calls her out later, like, well, you had ample opportunity. Like, when we were saying hello?
Yeah,
remember,
exactly.
I was your maid? Like, what do you...
When's the proper time to do that? Yeah. How do you do it without embarrassing everybody? Because it would have embarrassed everybody.
Right.
Which I would have loved to have said.
But like, oh, you don't remember me? Remember my face? Oh, yeah. I used to work for you.
Let me put this little...
Exactly,
hat
a little
thing.
Cap on.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you'll
notice you look
me.
At the back of my head. Maybe you recognize that.
Oh, my God. You're so right. That's good, John.
But I liked how Tom recognized her and they had their little moment.
Well, they were co-workers.
Of course, I know.
But, you know. But of course he's going
to recognize
her. Okay,
but let's talk Tom real quick because I know we'll get back to Gwen. But wasn't it great to have him back? And I liked the little moments. And even, you know, Cora says to Lord Grantham, isn't it great to have him back? Yeah, and I'm going, that's the audience going, it is great to have him back.
He's good. We never wanted you to leave to begin with.
Exactly. Certain people were, you know, swearing off the series when they heard Tom was leaving.
And I said, I'll get back to Gwen. But still, on the Tom thing, because just a little scene they had, he and Mary, when they were just talking about, you know, after they had the breakfast and they were alone. Mm-hmm. And so what are we going to do? Co-agent, you know, because I'm happy to do. Just their little going back and forth. You're my brother.
She's your brother.
It was great.
So
wasn't
good.
That sweet?
Yeah.
I loved that moment because, you know, there was a little bit, I think part of what that was Julian Fellowes establishing we're siblings at this point. Because, you know, there was a little talk even between us about is there going to be a romance? Saying, even in the last week, people, or, you know, just before last episode, people were saying, you know, maybe they will marry just as a matter of convenience.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I think this was great to just kind of establish really what and who they are to each other.
Yeah, and I've never seen them being married in any way, shape, or form because they just haven't.
There were at least two episodes where I thought there could be some possibility. And even the look she gave him when he came back last episode was kind of a little bit different. But obviously he's saying, you're my brother.
Right.
And that's what we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that she also commented on him, like, choosing something that he wants to do and don't feel like he has to make a choice because of the family.
As long as it's not Miss Bunting.
As long as it's not Miss Bunting. Oh, God, that was great.
We don't like her either.
But him saying, I need to do something off the estate. I need to, like, I don't think we really expected America to change him that much.
But no, but it didn't. Wouldn't you expect that? He's not going to be a traditionalist, but he is more of a capitalist in the sense of American capitalism, where a guy can achieve
pull himself
his
up
exactly
by his own
in
bootstraps.
One generation rather than
right.
You know,
and he wants to work on cars.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, and right, interesting, which we'll come to later, but. You know, I thought it was cool or interesting how Mary was kind of saying, yeah, that really isn't possible here, is it? And and kind of seeing his point because she's so used to being sure of herself and having her strong opinion and not really being interested in what anybody else has to say that I thought that was an interesting discussion to kind of open it up and for her to be open to the possibility or whatever.
I liked seeing them together. I'm looking forward to more of that because it's, you know, she... you know, she's either got a suitor or she's got somebody, you know, there's never really a, what's the word, a fraternal relationship that she
platonic,
has.
Platonic, honest relationship.
Yeah, and I like seeing that. Yeah. It's a good side to see.
Also because it enforces the change from her being a dilettante to being, you know, a woman forging her own way.
Yes.
Which is a nice, just a nice thing to see. And it's the way the world, that world is going right now.
All right, so now I can get back to Gwen.
Go back to Gwen.
That's
where
I wanted to start.
She's enjoying
so,
her lunch.
Yeah, she's enjoying that. And, you know, the whole reason I don't, you know, I wasn't really paying attention to the reason why she's there. Obviously, there's something to do with the school.
Right, so she's a trustee to the women's school.
Yeah.
And she
which
emphasized
I wasn't aware of.
Education and how much further she could have gone had she been educated, which was like played over and over and over again in this episode.
I know, Isabel is
they
all
were
over
like,
it too.
Stab it in, stab it in, PSA. Women need an education. But it was pleasant.
Funny, Courtney.
But how about the dinner? Or was it dinner?
Lunch.
Luncheon.
Lunch.
Thank you, pardon. Thank you, luncheon. And then, of course, Thomas has just got to,
you know,
can't
because he's
it.
Really like feeling like the big man on campus, being butler, interim butler.
Do you think he would have said anything had he not? I mean, he would have been in the room probably because he would have been there helping to serve. But I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have said because he wouldn't have been
maybe right up there serving that way. I don't know.
Maybe he would have. Maybe he wouldn't. But.
All I know is I finally was having a little more sympathy for him when we had the theory last week about the suicide. And today I was just like, just go kill yourself because you're evil. Like, you're rude. Why? Why was it? She hadn't done anything to you. Just jealousy and haterade. And it's just unfortunate.
It's true.
Just go. Because every time somebody tries to, like, be nice to you and bring you in and love you. And
he won't let them.
You just
like,
won't.
You
just put the wall up. I have no more sympathy for you. I'm done.
Courtney has declared.
She handled it very well.
She did.
She handled it graceful.
Quite deft.
I can tell them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you always got to control the spin, right?
Yeah, got to
get in front of the story.
Yes. So, but she did it so lovely, I almost cried.
Oh, that, and we just talked about, was it two, was it last week or the week, 2 weeks before? We were talking about just the idea of Sibby and the story, and they're just mentioning her, and I'm already getting, I'm saying, why am I getting so emotional? Yeah.
Just on a side note, I made the mistake of watching the season six preview trailer again this week, and it's only 1 minute long, okay, and it's the official trailer that's playing on TV in Europe, and, or in England, and I've seen almost every single shot up to this point. There are a handful of little moments that we haven't seen yet, but like the one with Carson pushing his nameplate on his, and the music in the background, and I was like, go watch it again when you get a chance. It's on YouTube. It's all over the place. It's probably on your TVs.
But that's such a lasting experience. Mm-hmm. I was surprised.
Sibyl.
That was this third season, right?
Was it third? Year or
second or third. And I was anticipating, I mean, like the volume of tears that were coming out of me when that episode, when the Sybil death episode came up, I am like anticipating that for the finale.
But it was great to see, and it was the way it was remembering her, the looks on everybody's faces, it was recalling all that, and then the way it affected Mary after that. I mean, it was, I love that Gwen brought all that back because. I didn't really think about, when I knew Gwen was coming back, I didn't get didn't put forward that the connection would be there and how that might,
affect.
I just didn't put that together.
I didn't have the depths of it, for sure. Like, coming back.
Gwen's coming back.
She helped her, but, like, listening to every little detail. And how she and Dad is, like, putting together, that's why she wouldn't let me in the library and all of this. It's like, she was so great.
So.
And I think it's partly laying the groundwork for... whatever the next baby birth tragedy is going to be, if you know what I'm saying.
Something's coming.
And lots, you know, we'll talk about comments that and predictions that other people have made. But, you know, I mean, we're all kind of anticipating this birth of Anna's baby, and which, again, we'll get to.
No, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Talk about it right now.
So there she is with Mary, and Mary's protecting her. No, you can't carry the case.
Right.
No. And then
keeping
she.
Keeping her secret from Bates, too, of course.
Yes, because she wants to be very, very sure.
Yes.
And then Anna has this, you know, event of pain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that pall of Sybil's death and the and frickin' hospital that we keep talking about.
And I just love the way that Mary said it, is that how much better of a
person
than
she
her
was.
Sister was than she. And I'm going, had that not been there, would she have gone, let me take you to London? She might have just said, hey, somebody take her.
Sleep on it. Yeah. You'll be all right in the morning.
Who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
I mean, seriously, because I was just thinking she might have said, I think she was nice. She would be nice enough to say, yeah, we should take you to London. I don't know that she would have joined her.
That night.
Right.
Yeah, that night. Yeah.
Right, that very night.
That very night, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked
she
about.
She pulled out all the stops and let's go.
Absolutely. And in last week's episode, you know, they had the moment where it's like, boy, have we been through a lot together between Anna and Mary. So there is a certain obligation to on both of their parts to the other.
Sure.
But it's still, you know, maid and lady.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lady and maid.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't. They clearly have no problem making that distinction.
At the right time.
You know, last week,
it's
Cora
convenient.
Made that distinction. What are you in, what are you
Cora
doing taking my course?
More than a distinction, but
oh,
you know, I need to go back there.
But I seriously don't. I really was thinking, okay, if she had not experienced that whole thing with Gwen and the remembrance of Sybil, would she have made those overtures to Anna that way, that forcefully? I don't think
so. Right, maybe not. What do you think?
Because she had already committed to making sure that she was going to do it. I just feel like she would have done it maybe not as urgently. Like,
yeah,
it would have been
I mean.
Let's make sure we go back
in
the next
morning.
Couple of days.
Yeah. In the morning, we'll head out to London. But, like, to
I mean.
Dig it up in the middle of the night
and do the whole thing.
Last train in York, like, that was a lot of effort on her part.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. It was a bit of an extraordinary event. Mm-hmm. That I love how she was like, oh, it's just something I'm going. And the way she can shut down people asking questions.
Nobody asks questions.
I wish I could get away with that. I'm just doing something, okay?
She's prickly. I'm just going to go, and you don't have to say anything. But I do think that it starts to show us something that you were talking about last week that I was like, no way, with the sisters maybe eventually sort of coming together, this sort of remembrance of who Sybil was. And later in the episode, we get Mary actually complimenting Edith.
Yeah.
And sort
but
of
then taking it right away.
Taking it away, which it came out of her mouth.
Yeah,
and it was
true.
Seemingly sincere in the moment. And then to sort of see her recognizing herself is not as good as one of her sisters at some point, so maybe there is hope for Mary not to be a jerk for the rest of her life.
Can we please stop talking about Sybil, because it's going to make me cry.
It was so great to hear all that, though. Like,
I know,
really,
no, it was.
I'm like, wow, she was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was. That was so.
It was wrong
very
the way she died. Man.
It was. But God, that was good TV.
It was amazing TV. She's a great character, and and again, just in TV world, great way to kill her off.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
I mean, just. And it still gets you.
So interesting. Well, are we going to talk? Okay, do you mind if we go to hospital next?
Before we do that, let's finish up the storyline about Anna, because she obviously goes.
Yes.
She has a surgery.
Oh, yeah, beg your pardon.
And apparently that surgery is no big deal.
Well, he said it was a stitch.
You're just closing up the
I know, but
cervix.
It's just like she's like.
But she does have to be on bed rest for a few days.
Yeah.
She can't serve Mary. How's Mary getting dressed for her dates?
I don't know.
Oh, good gracious, I don't know.
And she comes back, and of course Bates noticed. And Bates, prior to this, had noticed that she's getting
she's
sick.
And what you also remember last episode, there was something about her at the wedding and the reception.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, essentially, you're glowing, which is the word you know that is so often used.
Yeah.
So
but he noticed that she was eating too much pie.
Yeah,
she
eating all the pie.
Yeah. But now he, you know, of course, she finally is has to say something, or at least feels that she has to, because she's got some good news at least, and you know. But don't you think that's just setting up the whole?
I feel like it's going to set up a big old fall.
Yeah,
because I just can't
exactly.
see how
it's
they're going to
be
happy.
It's going to be fine. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's going to be just fine.
That stitch is going to come out.
No,
and I'm just wondering if Bates is going to be run away with this news as much as Daisy ran away with her news.
Oh,
that
Lord.
Daisy.
Okay.
Daisy.
So,
Daisy.
Daisy. Oh my god!
Because you know she just ran with it like crazy last week, and we were all going, "Oh, don't stop boy, it. Here it comes! Here it comes!"
Mm-hmm. She was loud and annoying with it this week.
Norma Rae, and
she was putting curtains in the window. She was like ready to go. She was decorating and planting geraniums out in the window boxes.
And then when she, and again, who's the bearer of the bad news? Is Thomas?
Thomas,
because you know.
Because it's
not?
What he does.
Exactly.
He's the evil butler.
Yeah.
Actually.
I just thought it was hysterical, you know, because everybody, you know.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Don't, it's not settled. You know, trying to, you know, manage her expectations. Yep. She'll have none of it. She just wants it, you know, doesn't care. And she's already stepped in it twice with people. And then she's going to go. I just, the shot of it with her going, that's it. I can't take the apron.
Taping
goes
the apron
down
off.
Exactly. And she's going upstairs and they're all at the stairway. It was this wonderfully composed. Don't go.
Don't do it.
Don't go into the light.
No. Yeah.
And so Baxter goes with her to hopefully like save her. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was to save her so much as or also to be
a buffer
between she and Cora.
Because she's
Cora's maid. Daisy to protect Cora to some degree, I think. Mm-hmm. That's my experience. Yeah. Of course, and then it was the ticking time bomb. Okay, is she going to get there before? And then we cut back to Cora and, you know, Lord Grantham, they're deciding, and Tom's there, and everybody's going, you treat Bob. Yeah, okay, sure, we'll give it. And I'm going, oh, God, please.
Quick, don't bust in the door.
And I thought, was everybody expecting that? She's going to bust in just before it all gets done and ruin it.
Right, of course. She was going to be all, Norma Rae, you were saying. Yeah. Indignant.
And again, part of me was going, God, that would be, go ahead.
Just bust in. But I was sitting there like, don't do it. Yay. Okay. Thank God.
And even when they're in the hallway there, I'm going, just shut your mouth. Yeah. Just shut your mouth for 10 more seconds, please. So that you can get this nice thing.
She got saved.
She did get
saved.
She did. Them coming out in the hallway.
Yes. Phew. Yeah. And he saves it all. And Cora was right. She did touch something.
I love that little aside at the end. Yeah, that was great. That was very good.
I'm just going, God, what would that have looked like? Because I think Daisy would have just gone off. She'd have gone crazy.
It's
right?
So ridiculous.
Well, you know, indignant the way she was at the auction.
Yeah.
You know?
And nobody can stop her. She didn't have
just interesting how she was so ambivalent about marrying Mr. Mason's son in the first place.
Absolutely.
And that was, again, talk about an incredibly touching scene. And do you remember the decorations around their bed? As they're getting married because he's on his deathbed. Of course you don't remember.
You don't remember it at all.
No.
I remember the scene. I just don't remember what the decorations.
There were some decorations involved.
They decorated for everything. It was a big deal.
Okay. Yeah. That's nice that you guys remember. Thank you. For
anyway, she was so ambivalent about the marriage, and it has become, because of that relationship, sort of part of the focus of her life has changed.
Sure.
Yeah.
To protect Mr. Mason.
There's a lot of guilt there. There's a lot of history there. And there's also...
That's true.
It's a complex relationship and a complex, thought process behind all of what's going on with Daisy. Because she's growing as well and trying to figure out who she's going to be.
And if she's going to stay in service and the whole thing.
Yeah. But so juvenile.
She's an immature girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how would you not be since she doesn't have the education?
Yeah. Never gone to school.
Speaking of that.
That's why Quinn says girls need to go to school.
They do. Yes, they do.
They do.
But it did work out, obviously. We got the nice shot of she and Mr. Mason at Yew Tree. And the place looked pretty nice compared to the other place.
I've got somewhere to lay my bones.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about it, and I'm going, and I'm sure he's already thinking that when I'm gone, I'm going to leave it to her. Hopefully.
Is that even an option?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Not leave it to her in terms of it, because he doesn't own it, but maybe, you know, he would want to work it out such that if she wanted to
she could be there.
Or something like that,
Sure.
I'm sure that's what he would want. But we got the nice shots and everything, so that was nice. So.
Well, thank God Mr. Mason's finally settled.
That's settled. So now what is Daisy going to do? She's only going to have her studies.
Studies that she wasn't paying attention to, so maybe we'll get back on that. And she's going to go to the school where Gwen thinks girls need an education.
That's right. The women's college.
All right.
They're clever.
We have to talk about our hospital because it's a necessity each week now. We have to continue the storyline. And this week we brought in more characters to participate in the never-ending saga. the hospital and whether or not it should be taken over by the county. And now we have Lady Shackleton being
drawn into the business.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Pissing off Violet.
Yeah.
Are you here to help?
Or irritate?
Or irritate.
Help or irritate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a very interesting discussion over tea. Mm-hmm.
Okay, one issue I have with watching a lot of British dramas, because I watch a lot of British dramas, is I think there are only about 25 actors in England, and they all are
they
in every show. Right.
But they're the only ones that we see over here.
Well, yeah, maybe okay. That's it. And so the woman who played Lady Shackleton has been in five other shows and movies that I've seen. And so I'm watching it today. I'm going, Shackleton, wait, or yesterday, Lady Shackleton, wait, was she, wait, is that from this movie or that, or is this, have we seen it? So I was having that issue with her. Anyway,
save
me, John. Save me. Don't you recognize her though?
From a bunch of things. Her from other stuff. Yes, yeah. But you know,
is she pasty face as well? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Stop it.
They all look the same.
Oh my God.
So, but it was great to have her there. And then Roseman, who's there.
You are not supposed to drag me through the coals. You're supposed to lift me and
He's
Courtney
like,
out.
Let's flip you over in the coal for a minute.
But sometimes it's fun not to. So,
rude.
Okay. But so Roseman is there too. And, you know, she has her little tete-a-tete with Edith in the car and, you know, what they're going to say and how they're going to say it and all this other stuff. And I'm just still going, what are we doing spending so much time on this?
Courtney has something
Please,
to say.
Courtney.
They're getting educated.
No, what you said or what
we're
you
talking about education.
No, about the hospital. You were saying earlier because we were saying we're going to talk about the hospital some more and you said,
"Oh, I was repeating that, but there has to be a good payoff. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be great."
It was more like Courtney was like, "There better be a damn fine payoff."
I was a little more aggressive earlier, but yeah, there should be, cuz I mean, this is what episode 4, we were talking about the same thing. They brought in like a new person, but it's still the same like back and forth with Violet being upset about it. She hasn't said anything new. People are still saying, we want to educate ourselves on the whole issue before I make a stand or whatever. It's the same thing over and over again.
We're
quite entertaining.
It's
just bringing new people into it. So when Lord Grantham dies, and there's no hospital there to save him, because who keeps having a pain after dinner every single night? That's really sharp, that tumbles you over and you don't think, let me go to a doctor. He's going to die.
and that's going to precipitate or facilitate the need to have.
Right. To understand that the hospital is needed.
Could also be Violet having a...
They can't kill her like that. Violet will go like real soft and easy one day. It's tragedy is going, because when he commented earlier in the episode, he said that Violet will use tears or terror with equal facility.
Yeah,
she's gonna be upset. It's gonna take her emotions to get her out of her own way.
Okay, so Robert James Collier, who plays Thomas, said in an interview months ago, before they had really finished filming, he goes, "I can guarantee a wedding for this series and the odd funeral or two or nine," when he caught himself. So I'm sure there's going to be a funeral, and we've got four candidates. We've got Anna, we've got Lord Grantham, we've got Violet, and we've got Thomas. All as possibilities. There's four right there. We could not even have to go to nine.
The way you guys did every
scene.
Oh,
no, I know.
She's going to die.
And Rosamund brought up Lord Grantham's funeral. And
I
didn't write down enough notes to know which scene it was, but it was towards the end of the episode, and she actually says something and talks about his funeral. So I was like, you're going to die. Totally going to die. He's on the list now. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's just hope that whatever the resolution is to that storyline of the hospital, it'll be much more fulfilling and satisfying than the
probably
green
not, because they're just going to get a hospital. So, like, whatever's surrounding it will probably be, like, exciting. Well, not exciting. It's not exciting if he dies, but it'll be entertaining.
Well, and in keeping with the storyline, though, and bringing other characters into it, next week there was a coming up that included Denker and Dr. Clarkson, and I'm wondering if they're bringing her into this.
Right.
What?
And from what I read, it also involves Spratt.
Oh, wow.
Spratt is
involved
in that as well.
Oh, and maybe his nephew, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Okay, so... All right. However they're weaving, he's weaving this, I hope that it gets some
it'll work out. It's
interesting
work
conclusion.
Good gracious.
All right. But we haven't, speaking of other characters, we haven't talked about Baxter yet to the degree. So This was very interesting that they, you know, Sergeant Willis is back and wants to speak to her, and you know, of course, she's not sure what it is. She thinks it has something to do with Bates, and of course, mm-hmm. you know, they're just so happy that it's not about them.
Like, thank God.
They can, and as Bates says, we can joke about this.
Yeah, thank God we finally can.
Right, and I thought this was interesting because this goes right back to the whole reason why she's there and the whole thing that Thomas had on her to begin with. So we're just, I mean, that's a long, slow burn about that, and she's the most interesting point about this storyline for me in this episode was when she said it's changed her as a person.
Having gone through it.
Yeah. And
yeah. Which made it weirder to me that she was so opposed or uncomfortable with confronting it and like not wanting it to happen to somebody else. Because she seems like she cares and like wants good for people in the same way that she wants it for Barrow. Like, come on, dude, like stop being your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
But like you would not want to help other girls not be. Because the whole argument with the constable was like, you don't want this to happen to other girls. Like, it's not about you and it's not about him anymore.
I thought it was played well because if what happened to you hit you that hard that it changed you, just revisiting it might be so difficult and traumatic that you just don't want to, because there's so much you have to face and deal with that it would take a person a while to go, okay, fine, I'll go through that again, because you're right, I don't want that to happen to somebody else.
Right. Well, and the other thing is right now it's Thomas and Cora who are the only people who really know all of her background.
Well, yeah, and even that, I don't think we know all of the background. We just kind of know the things that have happened. We don't know the level of Machiavellianism. If that's
I was going to say entwinement.
And how much.
How dark did it get?
Exactly. And, mm-hmm. and what he. Because we don't know who she was before. We only know who she is now. So that would be, you know, again, talk about a trajectory of life. Who would she have been without this person being in her life?
Right. But the point I was making is that other people will now find out.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
And so that is a big consideration for back then because...
Testifying in open court. Yeah. Like that. So
and she did talk about not caring, how she does care about what other people think and she doesn't want to be... still, I was like, girl, just testify. Stop. Yeah. Like, why are we?
Well, she did get there, though. So, but the nice thing I have to acknowledge is it didn't take episodes for her to get there.
Oh, my God.
It was just in the one. Exactly.
Hopefully we get the trial, like, next episode so we can get that wrapped up tight and nice.
I also like that Thomas finally admitted that he does care about what other people think.
He didn't even have to. It's obvious.
I know, but he finally acknowledges. Because, I mean, let's face it. He says to Mosley, keep your pity. You need it more than
I do. More than I do. Rude.
Yeah,
I
mean, exactly. But the surface, of course, is all that. Yeah. But it was nice for him to actually say something that was revealing in some fashion. That. Yeah, I know. Which is it's going to be tragic.
I can't anymore. It's not even tragic. That's what makes me sad. Because it was like he was kind of, you wanted him to try to, like, fit in and find his place. And now I'm just like, you suck. I don't even care.
But
like,
I think they're going to bounce him around back and forth. So
they're
going to toy with us like crazy. So
And
then the next episode, we're going to be going, well,
maybe he did do
something
nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they're just going to keep bouncing it back and forth so because that's a good way to string it out.
That'll be the measure. Yeah. If I bounce back with you next episode.
We will see, won't we?
I don't care if you live or die. I just want you to go away because you're just that salty grossness.
Obnoxiousness.
Person.
Whoever we got a hold of.
As a person, by the way, just as your character.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, because we love him as a person.
As a person, you're amazing and a great actor.
As the evil butler on Twitter.
Yes.
And we saw the return of Carson. And
yay. Mrs. Carson.
I thought... The whole struggle with whether what are we going to call him? It's so weird. Even Mosley going, Mrs. Carson.
That's so awkward.
I'm going, why is that such an odd thing?
People do it every day.
I know, but apparently it's just really odd here.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been what, like 40 years? Of
I get,
being
yeah. I mean, I get that part.
Well, God forbid the staff, or I mean, the family should have to learn something new about the staff.
Name. Yeah.
Well, they don't even recognize their faces. Why would they know their names?
It's true.
You said it. John said it.
Yeah,
you can tweet me and all, but John's the one who
said
it.
They all look the same. And I didn't say it. I just repeated it.
I said it. I said that one.
But that was fun for them. That was nice to see them back, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The one back on Baxter, Mosley, when he convinced her.
Yeah.
All that's needed for evil to triumph is for a good man to do nothing. Yes. I wanted to make sure we talked about that.
That was a great quote.
A quote from whom? I forgot who the... Is that, was it Churchill? Who said that? I can't remember who said it.
Probably.
But that sounds right.
I'm sure we'll get like 25 tweets.
We will, because
people
help me
telling
out,
us.
I didn't take time to research that. I'm sure we'll.
It was, but it was, you know, I mean, that's the truth and it's touching.
Yeah.
helps her rise up, which is the point of a comment like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Rise up.
Move forward.
And we're happy for it.
Yeah.
No, it was just, I was talking about Carson. The little montage they did with Carson at the end there was just, you know, just prepping us for how we're going to get ripped apart at the end of this. Because just the, ripped like you mentioned earlier, him taking the name out of his, yep. the little slot in his door
right.
was just, and the way he was touching the bed, and, you know, he's realizing that this part of his life is over. And, you know, not that he's not looking forward to his life with Mrs. Hughes.
But is
Mrs. Carson.
Really?
But there's just that sense of honoring what is going to be no more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hence Downton.
Yeah.
Going to be no more.
And were you guys, were you feeling that already, that little string being tugged?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not talking about
you don't
about
really it. Need to ask me, do yes. you? I've already stated that.
And I mean, they stated almost every episode. Even Mary was like, I will not let Downton be one of the houses that mm-hmm. falls apart, or whatever her comment was earlier in the episode. Yeah, girl.
You know,
it's going south.
A couple of our fans, one of the fans, who is this, Melissa, sent me an email and says that, she says, why do you think Downton's going to crash? Some of the estate survived. And she was saying the estate may become smaller and events occur on a smaller scale, but I don't see it crashing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you guys think that that is what's going to happen to Downton? Is it inevitable?
Thing. No, I think, you know, because you could really play with fast and loose with reality and fiction, because you could eventually say that it becomes something in its later life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, High Clark Castle, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right.
But just dramatically speaking, if I'm there, you... I want to hit the gamut of emotion at the end of this. I think if I'm writing this or if I'm viewing this, I want to feel all those things. The whole reason for the series is...
Right, to reflect upon the
end of an era.
Yeah.
And to not come to that and to hold that out, I think it would be a mistake. It seems to be antithetical to why you started.
Agreed. But maybe the same effect can be had, even if it's... It doesn't crash completely and they have to, like, sell everything, but, like, they have to sell most of it and maybe they can only keep a portion of it. And watching all of the servants sort of have to leave and the idea that none of that exists anymore.
But see, that's the thing. You can't sell your property. You couldn't sell your property back then. I can't remember if it's changed or not, but that's one of the reasons why these giant estates are such a big problem. And it's called... again, tweet me if you want. I can't remember the name of the edict. But you are prohibited from selling your family land. That's why they have all these leases. Mm-hmm. Because that was one way to create income. But you can't sell off the land.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that...
progenitor or something.
I'm not suggesting that it's going to get burned to the ground or sold lock, stock, and barrel or anything like that. But what we knew as Downton Abbey will not be there.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I think, by its downfall, so to speak.
Right.
I just mean the era of it, to the pomp
mystique.
Of it, all that kind of stuff. The drama of it, all that's going to be no more.
Right.
So.
Right, and it's changing within the people as well.
Yeah, exactly. You just can't.
Hey, we're only halfway through.
Survive.
We're only halfway through.
Halfway through of this year.
This season.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We haven't talked at all about Mary and Henry.
Yes.
So ladies, what do we think?
Thank goodness.
Lady Shackleton's mystery nephew shows up.
Yeah.
The race car driver.
I forgot that he was, I didn't know, was that explained when we first met
name.
Him? I don't remember
he
that if it was, but
car,
I forgot.
And
exactly.
She rolled up like, oh, that's your car. Yes, and they were like, oh, cute. And then he disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So, here it comes. Here's probably the tweet telling us.
Okay,
telling you exactly what it
is. But we're happy with this. You ladies,
I like
this.
I think he's cute.
Thank God. Okay, because every other suitor she has had since Matthew has been not okay. This one, we love you.
Gillingham, I mean,
Gillingham, no.
Liked him for whatever at some time. But
for comedy purposes? Comedy.
They had a tryst. That was nice.
Which was cool.
Yeah, but I think he's... more her match, this guy.
Yes.
Henry Talbot is more her match.
Very evident in the scene, too, in the when they're sharing their dinner.
She's
together.
Like, I'm sorry, I look so shabby. He's like, you could never look shabby, girl.
Yeah.
Hello. I just love that she had to know that I didn't bring my clothes. I had to borrow something from my aunt.
Stress.
That's why it doesn't fit me just perfectly.
That old thing.
Was that... at some point during this episode, she was wearing this gold sequined thing.
I'm so glad you brought that
Thank
up.
Thank you.
Both of those, but even Edith, and both of them at that dinner. She had the gold on with the nice little skinny gold headband, and then Edith had
the green.
Yes. And then she had like a latticed headband or whatever. I was like, go costumers. Everybody looked vibrant and beautiful, and I love that Edith is a part of that too.
Yes.
We have to give shout outs to the
costumes. I'm glad you did it.
Amazing.
No, I appreciate
that. I'm
glad
you brought that up.
I'm just being silent while you guys are enjoying it.
It was so good.
We did enjoy it a lot.
Very good, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the car.
Okay, great.
So, Henry's car.
Whatever. Karshmar.
They're ugly.
But I love the dinner. I hope they really...
He's going to die too, by the way.
No.
Why a car
they can't do it
like
again.
They're not going to do
that. They can't do it again.
She's going to have difficulty with him being the whole car enthusiast and everything because of the car accident.
Well, maybe she's going to die in the car.
Oh my God. You're getting to be like me. I'm rubbing off on you, Courtney.
I just feel like something tragic's going to happen with the cars. Because they're making such a big deal about, oh, it's so interesting that that's weird and dangerous and what's going on with the cars? And then, Thomas talked about working on cars. What if Thomas dies?
Oh my God.
Thomas or Tom?
Tom. Sorry, Tom.
Or you are watching the inner workings of
Branson,
Courtney's
right?
mind. Right?
I don't know. But the car thing is so elevated.
No,
something
and they
don't think they're going to do anything with it only because we've already had Matthew.
We've already
in a
hit
car
that.
Accident, so I don't think he's going to ring that bell
point.
Again.
Yeah.
I think they're going to use it because Mary is going to be very concerned about it. She's already had her husband die in a car accident, so she's not going to be too thrilled about somebody who she cares about. You know, driving
those newfangled things.
But that's going to be a point of drama and conflict, and I think that, and why not use it? But I also think that we could see her actually, you know, be in those cars and feeling that, and that could be an interesting way to open her up to a whole new thing as well. So, but I don't think it's going to be a tragedy. What's that?
Maybe she just gets injured, and that's also why the hospital is needed.
Okay, I'm not going to
have a lot of happy predictions here, do we?
Not from this side of the table. We have death and mayhem over here.
Yes.
That's the
I'm death, she's
go.
Mayhem.
We're like, whoa, what? No, he ran over a little George. You didn't see him.
No,
him.
God, like, don't
no,
say that.
No, something bad is
Erase
coming.
Erase that. That
it's
is
coming.
Bad. Don't say it.
Okay, I'm done.
All right. Good. And speaking of done, what else, do we have anything else we haven't covered or should we move on?
I'm ready to talk about news.
All right, let's get to our news.
I have lots
and we'll get
of
to our
stuff.
Gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Joanne Froggatt has wrapped shooting miniseries, a two-part drama called Dark Angel, where she portrays Victorian serial killer Mary Ann Cotton.
Whoa.
She's a serial killer?
Yes! The show looks amazing and dark, and I do love a good serial killer mystery.
Yes.
Of course you do.
Some people
Who
know
doesn't?
About me. It's scheduled to air in 2016, and we do hope it comes here to the U.S. as well, BBC America.
Well, that'll be a nice stretch
Send it
for her.
To us, please.
Yeah, very interesting. Sherlock star Martin Freeman is joining forces with Hugh Bonneville, Lord Grantham, to lead the cast in the latest festive adaptation of a Julia Donaldson book.
Okay.
They are voicing characters to the animated Stickman, which is a set for Christmas Day in the UK. Same day as the Christmas finale here. So we'll start the day with something sweet and end the day with like
something
devastating
tragic.
Tears.
Darkness.
Hugh Bonneville is going to play Santa.
Yeah.
And it looks very cute. Just quick mention, you might want to take a look at the official Downton Abbey Instagram account, and you might as well if you don't follow them already. It's very pretty. It's DowntonAbbey_official. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty, and they give us countdowns, which is very fun. There's a fun radio interview with Jim Carter, who plays Mr. Carson, on absoluteradio.co.uk. I've tweeted out the link. It was done about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun and, you know, Mr. Carson talking about his stuff and I enjoyed it. Hugh Bonneville is also not letting any grass grow under his feet other places because he is narrating a new animated film, Sophia the First, The Secret Library, which airs today in the U.S.
Okay.
So very few people are going to know this because This is the UK Downton Abbey.
But anyway, I know Sophia the First and I love it.
And it's on the Disney Channel and Disney Junior. Okay, and then also, despite the fact that Downton received failed to receive any of the bigger Emmy Awards this year, the series will receive a special award at this year's International Emmys.
Whoa, okay. Mm.
The Television Academy will present the 2015 International Emmy Founders Award to Julian Fellowes. And the award is given to individuals whose creative accomplishments have contributed in some way to the quality of global television production. Mm-hmm. So I think he definitely deserves it. The very first International Emmys Founders Award was given in 1980 to the late Jim Henson, who created the Muppets. And that ceremony for the awards is November 23rd in New York City. Okie dokie. I have a whole mess of shout outs and comments. okay, so thank you and shout outs to Alex, to Kathy Ressler, to Caroline from London. Thank you guys very much. Catherine Smith, Sylvana Dill, Poetic Justice, Ms. Las Makita, Charles Testrake, who we have talked about in past seasons, from Twitter, my pal Anna and the other Anna, Grumbling Appendix on Twitter, Karen Loss. Okay, so predictions about the hospital are that Robert will get ill or die, and that will cement the modernization of the hospital. Anna dies. Anna doesn't die. Violet dies. Carson dies after Mary throws a brick at him to see if he indeed will forgive her. And those are not all just mine. Prediction that Thomas will move to London, find a job, and live his life. Also, there was the one we just got as we were coming on the air about Thomas will meet Ernest Hemingway in Paris, become his butler, and move to Key West.
That was fantastic.
Caroline, I hope you're enjoying your Nespresso coffee.
Oh, my goodness.
Talking about last week's news with the program or order of service that was found in a church. That story has been picked up a couple of places. It was in the Mirror now this week. And apparently there was a script left behind as well that a tour guide picked up. So it's looking more like either that story is really just going crazy and it's still totally fake, or that it's real. So how's that for a prediction?
It could be real.
That's our crack staff reporting.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Funny things about Edith. We have that Edith's going to be at the altar, ready to marry Bertie. And like the wedding program says, then Gregson appears and screams, "Edith!" And they run off together. Also, there was another one where it was said Gregson returns home alive. It turns out he's had amnesia this whole time. Or maybe he just escaped from a Nazi prison. Or maybe he just became a Nazi. Or, does it really matter? For the sake of the plot, he's back. From Charles Destrake. So,
that's great.
Hilarious predictions. Also one that Lord Grantham may become an invalid. He just may be incapacitated.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think of that.
My notes are now all mixed up, but someone said that Julian Fellowes needs to listen to us. To us. Catherine Smith said, "I like to think Uncle Julian watches the show and feels suitably told off when John, Tamara, or Courtney aren't impressed with something that he's written." Mwah! We love you.
He's done with feeling.
He is done.
With great respect, by the way.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And appreciation.
Absolutely. Poetic Justice 1000 says, "I hope and don't think that Julian Fellowes would dare implement a suicide in Downton's last series." And he or she also says that he wouldn't possibly dare to do it in the Christmas episode. And I agree.
Oh, yeah,
I think
agree.
The Christmas episode is going to be amazing and heartfelt, maybe poignant, but I don't think there's going to be a Matthew-like tragedy.
No, I don't think it'll be happening. No, it wouldn't. I agree. I don't think he would do it in the Christmas episode.
And just one final note here. Ms. Las Nikita says, "Stopping to call Edith, poor Edith. Don't get crazy now. She still has Mary as her sister and Robert as her father. She's stuck with that name as long as they are around." Poor Edith.
All right,
lives.
Well, we are properly chatted. We will continue poor Edith.
Poor Edith. thank you guys so much for all the comments. They're so entertaining. Here was a prediction about how Thomas dies, that he will fall through the rotten floor at a decrepit pile while attending a new interview.
Uh,
Just as likely.
That's fine.
All week long, I laugh at the comments and predictions. And by the way, two things. You know, when... sorry, my throat just caught. You don't have to join Twitter to read Twitter.
Okay.
True. So, you know, because a couple people had written me emails saying that they were intimidated by Twitter or that they don't or that they don't, you know, understand it. And you can still read Twitter and read Instagram, I think, even too, without being a member, and you don't have to have an account and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay. How do you do it then?
You just go online.
You just go to twitter.com and look at things.
Look at stuff.
Yeah.
You just search what?
Well, Instagram, you'd have to, like, know the person's screen name or whatever. And you just, like, Instagram.com/Stuart Starlet, and you'd get my page.
Yeah, but you can also, they're also just, you know, search windows on Twitter. And you can search Downton Abbey.
Yes.
You can search, you know, AfterBuzz. Mm-hmm. Would be a great way to find things.
You guys aren't catching my drift.
You
kind of got it. There you go. Where would they search? How would they search?
How do you search?
At Tamara Berg on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com. Thank you to those of you who shouted out about my website. It was very sweet. Thank you very much. That's all I'm going to say.
And again,
I'm Twitter, Instagram, @StuartStarlet.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. I can't wait till next week.
I'm exhausted.
Going to be fun. I am, too.
Looking forward to next week. Looking forward to more interesting comments.
More comments.
Predictions.
This is such a wonderful community that we have. You guys have created. Thank you.
And sometimes they're just as... even more entertaining than what we witnessed. So keep them coming. We certainly do appreciate that. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. Thanks again.
Thank you, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, and thank you, Kathy.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.